Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of six as usual, and wherever you tuned in from, I thank you for choosing Eagle FM and thank you for choosing Home Run. And as always, I come bearing one exciting topic. And although today is more of a lumping together of two topics, but let me start with an example that I usually give every time that I find patterns in different informations that were more like different information or information that were delivered at at different intervals, at different time frames. One of the good things about being an overthinker, you analyze words letter by letter. It's like it becomes an obsession to find patterns. Now, it's thrilling. Overthinkers will understand. You jump out of bed in the middle of the night, go, oh, no wonder. That's when we are piecing the pieces together. Which is why leaving the house, not our strong suit. Give me a jigsaw puzzle and just a strong enough internet connection and a fridge full of food. Make sure there's beer in there for my sanity. And then I'm good. So, yesterday, I know that the presidency is trending right now for all kinds of reasons. I'm not going to dive into it. It's exciting though. I'm looking at it and going like, okay, this is very interesting, but yeah. One of the reasons why I don't like diving into that is, things like that, the moment they start taking place from the second they hit, it's full on political. You can barely tell, okay, now who is telling the truth here? Now, that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is the two amazing speeches that we have listened from here. There's one that was given by the president yesterday. They're both the speeches of the president. And one was given yesterday during the official opening of the cabinet for 2026, and one was given this afternoon, during the official opening of the third session of the 8th parliament. These two speeches sounded, there are two parts that sounded very familiar. I'm like, okay, the president is heavily hitting on this. What's going on? Now, a couple of hours of overthinking later, I was like, no wonder. Now, what am I talking about? Well, if you listen to two or three of the United Nations General Assembly, United Nations General Secretary Antonio Guterres, speeches. The most recent one, homeboy looks like he's about to cry. His pain is, oh my God, can't you guys just get along? And he's referring to countries, because the problem we have with a modern day, at least from the look of things, if you look at the language from a bunch of speeches that were given at the World Economic Forum, United Nations General Assembly, that happens pretty much every year. The World Economic Forum, the speech that stood out because of how incendiary it was for the Canadian Prime Minister McKenney. McKenney did not say anything new. He just said something a lot of nations leaders have been wanting to say, but did not have the nerves. He did not point at anything new. If you have been following geopolitics for as long as I have, you know he didn't say anything new. And I've only been doing this since 2020. But the history indicates this has been going on since 19 unknown. And what I'm talking about here is one thing that the president emphasized in both of her speeches from yesterday's opening of the cabinet to today's opening of the third session of the 8th parliament. Was the how might is right. No, one of my favorite speeches of Abraham Lincoln, apart from the 77 years ago, the one that defines democracy, government of the people for the people by the people, he did give one where he, you know, one that was used in, you know, interesting enough, I learned about that speech in a TV show, Modern Family. There's this, you know, there's this scene where they go to, you know, where they go to Disney World, and one of the activities they actually do at this very, you know, leisure filled place was to go to this, you know, Robert Lincoln, where they, you know, they go to some type of a, you know, some type of a hall, and they will find Abraham Lincoln standing there, you know, the robot kind, and is basically reciting some of the words that he uttered when he was alive. And, one of the things, you know, one, in one of his speeches, Lincoln basically pointed out how politics works today, where he said, let us to the end do our, you know, let us to the end do our duty as we understand it. But before he got there, he pointed out one thing that might and right, and right being might, those two. If you are a bully, then you are a believer that might is right. In other words, I have the military might, therefore what I say goes. And because you don't have the... if you are a nice guy, then you believe that might is found in being right. In other words, there is nobleness and honor in being honest. Yeah, no, it doesn't work. Yeah, believe me, been there, done that. Does not work at all. Now, it works to some degree that causes a lot of pain, a whole lot of it. Now, here's the thing. One thing that you begin to see if you listen to both yesterday's and today's speech of the president is that she's emphasizing something that a lot of nations' leaders today are emphasizing, and that is, if there have ever been the right time for your country to come together in solving your own problems, it's now. Because for a very long time, a lot of countries relied on international institutions to come and restore order every time that they get on each other's necks. Well, they have been summoned to the ICC to go and restore order between, you know, the tensions between Namibia and Botswana, the tensions between Namibia and South Africa. Most of these tensions between countries are border issues. Now, the thing is, if you look at geopolitics today, things are not looking good in terms of restoring global order. Let's just look at the president's speech for today, skip all the protocol observed. That's going to be standard for every speech. If you have a PDF version like the one I have, scroll your way all the way. Yeah, all the way to page six. Page six. I find that page more fascinating than actually the entire speech, because that's the part that, resonates to yesterday's speech. And the reason behind the repetition is because of the serious nature of the situation the global order finds itself right now. Now, on page six, the speech says, as you discharge, in reference to to parliament, of course, as they discharge their mandate, as you discharge this mandate, it is imperative to recognize that Namibia does not legislate in isolation. In other words, we are part of a global community. We are not solo. We are not Eritrea. In other words, Eritrea doesn't play games. Now, then the speech goes on to say that, we are navigating an increasingly unpredictable global environment characterized by geopolitical tensions, shifting alliance, and in some cases, disregard for established norms of international law. Who thought? Anyone that had been watching geopolitics and the economical, political and economic relations for the past, make it 2-3 years. I don't think there was a time when someone just sat there and thought, you know what? Canada and China would be openly doing business. I mean, they do business. They do business. One thing a lot of people do not know is that Huawei is like Samsung. The handsets they make is a side hustle. Most of their business model is in signal. They are in tech, your network towers and stuff. The technology used in network towers mostly. Oh, Huawei is dominating in that department. So they just woke up and then they banned Huawei smartphones, but they still will be like, well, politics is really stupid. But anyway, the president went on to say that powerful nations are increasingly asserting their interest in ways that challenges multilateralism and rules-based international order. And I was like, increasingly, whoever wrote this speech, excellent. The key word there is increasingly, because this is not new. I have an example for you here. I'm sure if you have ever watched the lady's videos or have heard of his name. Her name is Shiombore. I think she's from Zim. She worked for the World Bank at some point. A very brilliant woman. She's one of those people that like to bash the heck out of international financial institutions, because why? She understands how it's more often. Don't get me wrong. International financial institutions are very helpful in terms of conducting global transactions. Excellent. But the thing is, whoever wield power of mechanisms like that, they can easily weaponize it, and weaponize it they have. Ever since the war between Russia and Ukraine started, a lot of European countries have wanted to do what? To call it steal Russian assets. Ask yourself one question. After the overthrow of Gaddafi in 2011, what happened to Libya's assets? Because Libya had literally billions of assets scattered across the globe. What happened to those assets? What happened to the assets of Iraq after the invasion in 2003? What happened? And again, that's not new. After Second World War, a lot of victims of the Second World War Holocaust went to, they went to Switzerland. The Nazis stole our gold, and we are told they banked them with you. Can we have it back? And the Swiss were like, what gold? Again, not new. Every time that a country falls, the assets of that country disappears. The Germans learned that after the Second World War. They found out the hard way. Again, I have a sneaky suspicion that was not even the first time. Every time that a country is bombed to smithereen, the foreign assets of that country is more often stolen. So, Libyan assets, chances are very high, just evaporated into thin air. Someone right now is filthy rich. Mostly, if not predominantly, because of it. Now, why am I emphasizing this part of the president's speech? It's simple. Because we are Africans. I don't like it. No, I like being African. But the way that we solve problems, I don't like it. I really don't. But unfortunately, that's our model of solving problems. Every time that Africans have a problem, someone out there have to come and solve it. If that problem is militarily, we want security on the African continent. Have you seen Djibouti? Djibouti is loaded with foreign military bases. The Italians are there. I think the Chinese are there. The British are there. The French are there. The Americans are there. On Christmas. Donald Trump dropped bombs in northern Nigeria. One of the biggest debate that came out of that is, was the Nigerian government aware of this? More often that goes political again really fast. So I don't like wasting my energy in that. Now, here's the thing. About two, three years ago, during an ICSA discussion, ICSA discussion. Now, ICSA is an international security, conference on Africa, Now, this is an institution that sort of like, that seeks to tell Africans, you know what? You have got to depend on your own. Because this whole nonsense of, we want security from rebels. America, Britain, please help. You want economic independence. World Bank, hello, hi. Can I have some money? And you want, you know, you want political stability. ICC, hey, you know, about that thing, you know, we have a bunch of rebels. America, please come and help. We are too broke to afford anything. America, you know, Britain with institutions, can we have some money? And we have, you know, we have political instability because of leaders that do not want to step out of power. You know what, how we solve that problem? According to Marino Ocampo, the first international court, you know, international criminal court, court prosecutor, in his discussion on Al Jazeera back in 2016 with Mehdi Hassan. Mehdi Hassan was still with Al Jazeera at the time. And, here's the advice. If you are looking into venturing into politics, let me give you advice. If you hear that, whatever country you are visiting, the person that's going to interview you, you know, their name is Mehdi Hassan, postpone that interview. Unless what you have is the truth and nothing but the truth, postpone that interview. Because Mehdi Hassan is one walking, talking encyclopedia. And every time that he arranges an interview, believe me when I tell you, I get my popcorns ready for an interview. Because I know he's about to start cooking. And boy, is he good at cooking. During the International Security Conference, on Africa about two or three years ago, Julie Gichuru, the president of president and CEO of Africa Leadership and Dialogue Institute, or ALADI. This is a woman who gives a whole new definition to the word Pan-Africanism. She's a firm believer in the fact that there are no African problems that Africans themselves cannot solve. We just don't like solving them. In that discussion, one point she makes is that, let me just draw a picture for you. I'm paraphrasing her words here. In 2011, before the bombing to smithereens of Libya, African leaders wanted to fly in to talk to Gaddafi. And they were told by the NATO coalition, obviously, because they are the one that were bombing the heck out of Libya back in 2011. And they were told, your leaders and mine, they were told that if you go in Libya today, right now, in the middle of our military operation, we cannot guarantee your safety. Translation, get in there and we are bombing the heck out of you. That's someone with military might telling you that, I know you are a nation's leader, protocol, blah, blah, blah. But I have the power to bomb a country and I can bomb whatever country I want. So if you go in there, I'll bomb you. So, it's not a rule. It's just a very, very serious recommendation. That's a big country, or more like a big block, the EU at this point, with the US, basically telling African leaders, according to Julie Gichuru, if you go in Libya, if they went into Libya, they would be bombed. Now, that's, if you ask me, that action really fits into, what's that part? Powerful nations are increasingly asserting their interest in ways that challenges multilateralism and rules-based international order. Again, oh boy, do I have another example. Back in 2013, on the hunt for Edward Snowden, the Obama administration forced down a presidential plane. It's like storming your way into an embassy. That was the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales. And he was pissed. Why? Because, again, against international law. So, which is why I said, the use of the word increasingly here, this was genius, because that is pointing to the fact that this has been happening, but we have not been pointing it out because, well, now this is where we now go back to the World Economic Forum McKinney speech. McKinney pointed out that for 80 years, his country, Canada, knew that international law was not, was not as international in application, at least in terms of equality, as it was on paper. Why? Is it because the Canadians were too dumb to see that international law was being partially applied? No. They were too smart to know that. Actually, they were too smart to know that it was being impartially applied. It was being unequally applied, but they did not want to lose their benefit card because they knew that if they pointed out, just picture this. You are going to chill with a guy that is just doing the dumbest thing ever, but he's the one with money. Well, you are not going to tell him he's doing something wrong. Obviously, you'll tell him, these people just don't understand you. You are a free spirit. No, he's an idiot. But the thing is, that idiot is the one with money for the beer. So we don't want to piss him off. So even when he's doing the dumbest thing ever, we just tell him, nah, you're fine. These people just don't understand you. That was 90% of the world for the 80 plus years that the quote-unquote global order have been in existence. Most wars have been fought over false pretense against international law, but a lot of people decided to shut up. Why? Because they did not want to lose benefit. Now, the unity part is one that I'm going to emphasize on because in January of 2016, the first guy to stand trial in The Hague, in the Netherlands was according to the UN, the first ever trial of the International Criminal Court was of a Congolese, a Congolese warlord. Because of the idiots, was just, specialized in child soldiers. The second one, now, the Congolese warlord, that one was an African. And then you had, in 2016, Laurent Gbagbo, the fourth president of Ivory Coast, also stood trial. And now we all know how South Africa was under fire. I think that was back in 2015 when they let Omar al-Bashir with an arrest warrant on his tail attend the African Union summit in South Africa. Oh no, they didn't like it. The international community, especially the media, went bananas. Ask the same media the same question about Israel today and the Israel Prime Minister, and you watch them dodge that question. Speaking of impartial application of international law. Now, what you begin to see here is something simple. A lot of countries, because I'm suspecting of the cutting of finance, of funding to a lot of international organizations, especially those ones that supported a lot of social initiatives across the planet by the US, have made a lot of people go, you know what? What do we got to lose? Now let's go and complain. They didn't complain back then because, well, the money was still flowing in. And when the money stopped flowing in, they were like, just picture this. This is what you see in a lot of intimate relationship. Everything is perfecto. Like, they'll just be there chilling and everything is just going well. Now, wait for those two to separate. Now, ask them questions. So, how is that person? That one. Nah, that one's terrible in bed. You're married to someone who is terrible in bed for 10 years? Really? Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why I saw in him. For 10 years. I mean, I knew I could do better. I mean, I don't even know why I was wasting my... 10 years. You're only realizing that now. After 10 years. You were with someone you didn't know why you were with them. For 10 years. Even these kids that you see, they are not his. Oh, now we totally understand the terrible in bed part. Okay, not mind the gap, not mind the gap. Breathe, 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 breathe. Now, moving on. A lot of people, a lot of countries, they saw the political, you know, the international misapplication. The misapplication of international law. They didn't say anything because they were benefiting. Now that most of the benefits are gone thanks to budget cuts, yours truly, courtesy of yours truly, Donald Trump, I have a sneaky suspicion that's why. Yeah, that's one of the reasons. We know that one of the reasons is Greenland. That's for Europeans. They just bombed Iraq, Iraq, Iran, you know, Afghanistan, Yemen, you name it, Lebanon, Libya. They didn't have a problem with it. Actually, they participated in the bombing. Now that is threatening to bomb Greenland, that's when they're saying, hey, you know what? This whole bombing thing is a bad thing. Hang on a second. It's a good thing for Arab countries, but it's a bad thing for, what? Now, why am I saying just, come together and solve your own problems? Like, this is the right, this is the second most important time to unite and basically grow up about the way that we solve problems, because no one is coming to help us to solve our problems as a continent, not as a country, not as a continent, because global institutions are very shaky right now. They are being shaken to the core by this, by the big powers. Why am I pointing at that? It's because back in 2016, Moreno Ocampo, actually he was debating one Ghanaian or Nigerian guy on whether or not the International Court of Justice, International Criminal Court, not International Court of Justice, whether or not the International Criminal Court was targeting Africans. One thing that Moreno Ocampo pointed out was that we didn't invite you. You actually came asking to join the ICC. And you know one of the names that he drops in that interview? Nelson Mandela. And I was like, oh man, who went begging now? Speaking of begging, apparently Zuma, Jacob Zuma, is in the Epstein files, which I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand times 100 why a lot of people are in there, but I don't understand times 1,000,000 why Jacob Zuma is in there. He's South African. He has like multiple wives. Why? But all that aside, speaking of begging, Elon Musk is a billionaire, right? You would think he would never beg for anything. Nope. It turns out even billionaires beg for a private party and a private island full of perverts. Yeah. Please, I am begging you. He even wrote one on Christmas. On Christmas. Please, come here. Please call me for this party. Oh. And the painful part is one of my... Actually, not painful part. The almost painful part is one of my favorite comedian was also mentioned. Actually, my favorite comedian was also mentioned. Jon Stewart. Except he wasn't mentioned as in he participated in. He was mentioned as in, Jeffrey Epstein and one guy were considering on sponsoring some kind of a show to push a certain narrative that they had in mind. And one of the candidates they had was Jon Stewart. And he did a whole segment on it. It was like, excuse me? But look, man, if you have seen the Jeffrey Epstein files, then you know that this file is made up of your investors all over these files. You know, the richest of the rich, the guys that you wait at the airport every time they visit. Those are the guys that are having some twisted sense of sexual appetite. I mean, you are a billionaire. You can sleep with almost any woman that will consent to see you sleeping with them on this planet. Like, pretty much you can fly and find anyone anywhere. Why a kid? That part. I don't think I even want to know the answers to that question, because that the question itself is disturbing enough. And I don't think that question is, you know, has a relevant, a rational answer. None. Zero. Why? It's because it's a kid, you idiot. Kid. You have a wife and kids at me. You are. The only way to explain that, witchcraft, full stop. Ritual, not ritual, be that. Now, so, coming back to why I think Namibians, must learn to sort of like come together and settle disputes peacefully. Speaking of disputes, have you seen what's going on between Namibia and Nigeria, especially on Twitter? Yeah. There is a storm there. But then again, it's Twitter. So, what Marino Ocampo pointed out back in 2016 was actually painful. That it sent me down a rabbit hole of thinking. Come to think of it, every time that we have a leader that is clinging on to power, we have the African Union, and they can't basically get rid of that leader. So the best way, our best solution have always been, every time we have a problem on the African continent, the solution will always have to come from outside. We have a problem with rebels. US AFRICOM is a US Africa joint military initiative. You wanna know where the headquarters is? It's in Germany. They have their military presence all over Africa. This is something that the Institute of Security Study points out, that, look, there's nothing wrong with having a bunch of military bases scattered across your continent, but ask yourself one question. Those army will protect you from those rebels, but who is going to protect you from that army? That's something that one Australian Prime Minister, Prime Minister, a gentleman by the name of, of Whitlam, something, found out the hard way, that back in the 1980s, 1980s and 1970s, he decided he was going to tell to ask the Americans to give to either leave or give him access, give Australia access to Pine Gap, one of the most very secretive military bases, or so it's assumed, in the middle of Australia. This is, one of the biggest intelligence operations on the planet, run by the West. Well, Whitlam challenged the existence of that, of that facility. Yeah. Oh, man, the way that he was softly cooed out of that prime minister position. Yeah. Coming back to Africa. Yes. You have military bases, foreign military bases, protecting you from rebels. Now I just have one question. Who is going to protect you from those military base guys? Short answer, no one. No one. You have bodyguards to protect you. Yes. Now, who is going to protect you from those bodyguards? That's a dilemma, turns out, that plagues the security cluster. We have a military problem we run outside of Africa. We have a military problem on Africa. We run outside of Africa to seek for a solution. We have a financial problem on the continent of Africa. We run outside of Africa to ask for a solution. An African leader has a headache, flies outside of Africa to get paracetamol, point of correction, to get presidential paracetamol from Malaysia. Like, we are terrible at basically sitting down and saying, you know what, let's for once, for the love of God, let's just sit and figure this out. No? Financial problem, solution outside of Africa. Security problem, solution outside of Africa. Political problem, solution outside of Africa. Is there anything that we can just do? Like on our own? No. And then when someone makes up a speech that says Africans are too dumb to solve their own problems, you are angry. Actually, the practical reality on the ground is reinforcing that stereotype. Now you have, when a non-African is running, is jogging. When an African is running, he stole something. The self-hate runs deep. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
And welcome back. This whole thing of seeing a problem, but you don't want to address it because you don't want to lose your benefits. In Africa, is it in Africa or now the whole world now at this point? Don't bite the wati. That does what to you. There are a lot of ways you can interpret that. You can interpret it in a clean way or dirty way. It's your mind. Go nuts. Now, one fun fact before we move on to the next part. Did you know that we are not the first people to basically shut up because we are benefiting from a system? And we have something, you know, there's this joke that we more often like to say, especially here in Namibia, that it's only corruption if I'm not benefiting. If I am benefiting, it's not corruption. That mentality is what Mark Kenney, the Canadian Prime Minister, was talking about at the World Economic Forum earlier this year. For 80 years, countries like Canada were benefiting from America's hegemony. Therefore, they didn't see anything wrong with it. Until the benefits started to slowly slip through their fingers, and then they started seeing, oh, no, there's something wrong with bombing other people's countries. Why didn't we think of it? I mean, it didn't. Well, better late than never. It only took us 80 years. You can criticize them. If you ask me, that's not very different from it's only corruption if I'm not benefiting. We have the same mentality. It's a humanity thing. It's not a racial thing or a religious thing. It's a humanity thing. When we're on the benefiting side, we only see advantages. Have you ever given advice to, especially a guy in love? Yeah, no, don't waste your time. Especially if you find out that they are now having matching outfits. Hey, the amount of prayers you need to pull someone out of that spell. Now, one fun fact: we are not the only one to shut up when we are benefiting and start making noise when the benefits stop. Academia. Not the location. The world of academics, the people that are often given credit as, I mean, they should be the smartest of the smart. They should know how to solve problems. No. Academia at some point in the history of mankind have been rendered useless. Why am I saying that? Because believe it or not, at some point, freedom. Seeking freedom was a mental disorder. Dreptomania is what every slave who escaped from his captor, especially in the US, they were diagnosed with dreptomania. That is this longing for freedom. That was it was a mental disorder to want to be free. What? Now, imagine what happened to the psychologist that said, that's not true. You have to understand, the people that came up with this nonsense are the people that ran away from King George III's oppression to the point where they founded a whole country, massacred the people of that country, and so they can run away from oppression. They literally ran away from oppression of European monarchs. They wanted to be free. All men are created equal. It's a free country. They like to to boast around that. It's a free country, land of the free. They ran away from oppression and then started diagnosing people that were running out from oppression as having mental disorder. Those were the educated idiots. Before you start saying, being educated, and no, you can still be educated and still be a moron, it turns out. Because a bunch of educated guys reached a conclusion. Now, according to psychology today, I swear, the yearning for freedom, the aching swell in the chest of an enslaved, the quiet plotting under moonlight, the running feet slicing through thickets of dawn, the desperate leaps into rivers, and the stolen whispers of liberation, all of it was pathologized. Now, in 1851, one idiot of an educated moron called Samuel Cartwright of this, would have been Cartwright, a white Southern physician, stood before his peers and declared that enslaved Africans who fled captivity suffered from a mental illness called dreptomania. And like, this guy's an idiot. This was a descendant of the people that ran away from oppression of monarchs, from monarchs of Europe. He ran away from oppression. When he runs away, he's seeking freedom. Perfect. That's very human, understandable. But when the people he enslaved runs away, it's a mental disorder. Now you see the problem. The problem here is, he can be educated and still be an idiot. Now that we have that dreptomania out of the way, let's get back to the president's speech. Nothing new here. Now, why did you think Dr. Cartwright will reach that conclusion? Because he was a doctor. Doctors, a lot of them don't have money to fund their research. Most of their money to fund their research comes from where? Either financial institutions or very rich families or very rich guys. Most of them at the time had cotton or sugar plantations. Who planted and who took, who worked in these plantations? Slaves. So he decided to cook up a made-up idea in order to please plantation owners so he can be in good books with them. Does that sound like the Canadian Prime Minister's speech at the World Economic Forum? You are just bending your moral compass so you can fit in with the people that you don't want to hate you for having a different opinion. Yep. Now, let's go back to page 6 now. Okay, actually, let's take a break and then we go back to page 6 of the president's speech. And then with the foundation already laid by yours truly here, the last paragraph of that speech is going to page six of that speech is going to make a little bit more sense. It's a we human thing. Every time that we are benefiting, people are most likely to turn, and this is universal. People are most likely going to turn a blind eye whenever they are benefiting from a system. Every time that they don't benefit from a system, they start pointing at it. And again, I watch documentaries for a living. I love documentaries. I love watching documentaries even when I'm bored. And thank heavens, my line of work requires a lot of general knowledge from these documentaries. And one thing I've learned is that don't listen to politicians when they are in office, especially on an international stage. You are wasting your time because more often they are saying things that's in line with the office they are occupying. It's their mandate to tell you exactly what they are telling you when they're in that office. Wait for them to get out of that office when they are being interviewed for a documentary. Now they're telling the truth. I swear. Every time that I compare Colin Powell's speech in 2003 that cemented the invasion of Iraq and what he said with regards to the same invasion in a documentary with Andrew Feinstein was the complete opposite of what he said in Congress. What he said at the UN. At the UN, he was like, weapons of mass destruction. Oh boy, there are a lot there. According to our intelligence, he even went there with a, did he go there with a graph? He went there with a visual aid to show the demonstration and stuff. And he was interviewed for a documentary. And he was like, we didn't actually know for certain what was it. Really? You couldn't say that at the UN? He lied at the UN and told the truth in a documentary. So I was like, you know what? I'll just stick to documentaries. Thank you very much. Quick break. From the break, page 6 of the President's National Assembly official opening speech.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tele ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM VI.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 6. That means I still have ample time to just, go through this. Let's start with yesterday's speech now, shall we? Let's start with the cabinet speech. And then the parts I picked are not very different. Business unusual, the president, now, yesterday. Business unusual is happening worldwide. And around the world, we see shifting alliances, economic instability, conflicts, and selective enforcement of global standards. Yeah. Isn't that what I talked about the other time when I was pointing out? I used the audio of Angelina Jolie on how she was also pointing out in her interview with a Turkish filmmaker and journalist that it took her 20 years of working in the humanitarian sphere to see that, yeah, all people are equal before the law. That's just on paper. In real life, the more muscles you have, the more guys you know in the right places, the more scar-free you are most likely to go with a lot of things. Now, the message being communicated here by the president from the look of things is that the last time that we needed unity as a country more than ever was before independence. That's the first time. That's the most important time. We got that. Now, is that need is coming back of needing, you know, unity more than ever. Look, I really like how Africa operated during, you know, before independence. I really like because, you know, Zambians and Angolans were working together. And, Zambians and Tanzanians, Angolians and Namibians, you know, Tanzanians, Kenyans. And then they each got their independence. And then just a selected few people started affording Poloni. And then they started thinking they're better than everyone else. Now you need an appointment. Not that, everyone should walk into the presidential palace. I mean, well, that's not a good idea. Ask Caesar. The president also emphasized this by pointing, you know, the whole, you know, the need for unity, if you ask me. The need for unity part, that's the conclusion I've drawn. Not just for Namibia, but for the whole continent. And then I just picked the topic when Namibia and Nigeria are about to go to war. 3 million with... how many Nigerians you people are playing? But I like the fact that the war is just on Twitter, so we're good, don't worry. The president emphasized this by pointing to the current trajectory of global order, you know, of a global order that seems to be headed in a direction that is just a, you know, might is right type of direction. Now, the president stated that in a conference that the current global order, she pointed out that sometimes decisions impacting sovereign nations are made outside of established multilateral framework, ignoring international consensus. Again. If Madame Gichuru is right, and back in 2011 during the bombardment of Libya, if African leaders really begged to get in a country on their own continent, and they were told no, in a lot of words, what that seems to point out to me is that unanimous consensus have never been our strong suit. Quick break.
Spend less and get more with Budget Beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only $36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just $87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for $189.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $57.99. See more month-end specials at Vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So we continue. We're still with the cabinet speech here. Over. Yeah, sometimes decisions impacting sovereign nations are made outside established multilateral frameworks. In other words, I have the biggest soldier, so I'll just go out there and do whatever I want. What are you all going to do? And more often, it has been nothing. You all haven't been doing nothing. Moving on. Ignoring international consensus. What seems normal today, what seems normal now becomes unacceptable in the future. The shift in global order also changes many of the assumptions that many nations have relied on. Back then, you know how you are just with your sibling at home and you like to start trouble, so you just start trouble and then run to mommy. What happens when mommy and daddy are at work? You start behaving. Why? Well, because you know that mommy and daddy are not at home. You make a mistake here, you're going to be pummeled to death. So, the president here, like a lot of us that are following, the trajectory that global economy, the global politics and global economics is taking, we know that time to actually start working on self-reliant was yesterday. But since yesterday we did not, we were like, no, don't worry. The ICJ will take of it. The UN will take of it. ICC will take of it. We'll take care of it. Now all these institutions are being stretched. They are being tested like crazy. I mean, just this year. A sovereign nation stormed into another sovereign nation, bombed the heck out of them without, going against the second article of the UN Charter, bombed another UN member state, kidnapped their president, and the best everyone could do was we condemn. That's it. Yeah. What do you want us to do? I mean, we just condemned. It's not like we can go and bomb. I'm not saying bombing should be a solution. There's a reason why Article 2 of the UN Charter explicitly leaves military confrontation as an action of last resort. But if you have a strong military, you can make it first resort. Who's going to tell you what to do? The former service member of the U.S. Wilkerson in the Shadow World documentary explains that, for a very long time that our country, and he's talking about the U.S., that we're a small country. If you are a small country, you have to be very exquisite at diplomacy. But if you have a strong enough military, you don't negotiate with anyone. You just storm in and then smack him. Actually, that's the exact word he uses. You just go in there and smack him. He's going to tell you what to do. No one. Because you have the army. If you go to the gym, you don't let anyone tell you what to do. You just storm in the bar, all looking all buffy and start taking everyone's beer. Actually, that's going to get you killed. Don't do that. You can take anyone's anything. Beer, don't. And that was cabinet yesterday. And now this was a National Assembly official opening today. Powerful nations are increasingly asserting their interest in ways that challenges multilateralism and rules-based international law or international order. Now, we are mindful of who we are in this world because, on page 6, the president points out that as you discharge this mandate, you, National Assembly, it is imperative to recognize that Namibia does not legislate in isolation. We are part of the global community. Now, with all this, bulldozing of decisions by big guys, what do you do? For a small but principled nation like Namibia, whose foreign policy is firmly anchored in multilateralism, respect for international law and peaceful coexistence, this reality requires foresight and prudence. I don't know if prudence is... For now, let's go with prudence. But again, I'm going to say this. Africa, Anyone that have watched a documentary or read a book on any empire knows that all empires all throughout the history of mankind all share one thing in common. You can't be free if you don't have an army strong enough to protect you. You can't. You just can't. That's not how the world works, unfortunately. The world of geopolitics works on military strength. You have the military strength, no one is going to tell you what to do. Iran has nuclear weapons, then they start bombing Iran without any proof. Iraq has nuclear weapons, they start bombing Iraq without any proof. Everyone has proof North Korea has nuclear weapons. No one has bombed North Korea. Again, reality versus theory. The theory is, you are going to be respected if you don't have a strong enough army. Well, the Chinese tried that. They tried to be nice. They ended up with 100 years of humiliation. The Chinese were like, oh, no, so. This is how the world works. They decided to build an army. Ever thought of anyone trying to bomb the Chinese now? No. Why? Because now they can bomb back. Back then, the French, the British, and pretty much everyone that wanted to flood, their opium in China, China did not have the military strength to defend themselves like they are today. They were just a playground. They were just bombing the heck out of them. They even got some, some power-hungry idiots from the African continent to go and help them colonize the Chinese. Idi Amin. Oh, Idi Amin also participated. Embarrassing. But at least he had to turn around. But Jean Bethel Bokassa, just one moron. Bottom line is, my take will always be the same on this one. If you want real sovereignty, build an army. Because sometimes, international law is not going to protect you. International law did not protect Iraq, did not protect Libya, did not protect Venezuela, it's not protecting Iran right now. It's not protecting Greenland right now. The threats are still flowing in. So what do you do? Again, the biggest problem here, again, it all comes down to what? Benefits. One thing that the Canadian Prime Minister pointed out was, a lot of countries decided to shut up for 78 years when other countries were oppressed. One, because they were benefiting. And even those countries that decided to shut up instead of asking questions that would have made their benefactor, economic and political, military benefactor, angry, you know what they decided? They decided to keep quiet for two reasons. One, so they don't lose their benefit. Two reasons. One, they didn't want to lose their benefit. But that benefit was not a single, it was not a handout. It was a battle for survival. A battle between a bunch of minions that could not ask questions. They didn't want to ask questions. They were just fighting for the breadcrumbs that were falling from the master's table. They were killing each other. They were contesting to see who is begging the most. And now that the benefits have stopped, all of the sudden, hey, you know what? America is didn't. Oh, come on, seriously. You're only realizing that now. But now, back to the speech. The laws crafted in this House, Parliament, must therefore be strong, principled, and forward-thinking. That's why I started with Moreno Ocampo. Look, man. Every time that I watch a documentary or read up on something that that a lot of big countries are doing, especially the US, I like to read the comment section, and more often I come across comments of people saying, "Why can't you just kick the United Nations out of the UN? The United States out of the UN." You don't know. Is because they are coming with the biggest check. For you to run an organization, you need money. Whoever contributes the most to that organization is the one that's going to have the most influence. This is true for any organization on the planet. Namibian, African, global, they're all the same. The corporate world works the same way. The more shares you have, the more money you have, the more shares you are able to afford in a company, the more control you are going to have of that company. Politics, the same. If you want to own a political party, be their biggest donor of money. You're going to run them. They will even tell you, "Oh no, don't make that one angry. He's the one that donates the most to us." Those are the people, when they walk in the office, they can behave however they want. They can even start disrespecting employees. And when those employees fight back, those employees will get fired. And the boss will apologize on behalf of the employee who didn't do anything wrong. It's how the world works, unfortunately. We all know, for those of us that go to church, we all know one or two people that are very powerful financially. And when they go to church, everyone knows their kids, everyone knows them. Why does everyone know them? It's because, well, their offering is about $200-$500. So when the decisions are being made at church, they are more involved because, well, don't leave them out. It's like, it's not rocket science, guys. December, family gatherings. If you are a firstborn and you have a job, if you are a firstborn and you are broke, your lastborn that has money becomes the firstborn. That's where this meme of, if you have money, if you are broke and you show up to a meeting, to a family meeting late, they will blame you. "Why are you late? This person is always late. They don't have conscience for time. They don't have respect for the elders. They have kept elders waiting." They will blame you. But if you have money and you show up to a family meeting late, according to that meme, the elders will apologize to you for being early for the meeting. Commercial break.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe wiyako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaketi. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula lokushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavau chako ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG mwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilo ngwashiche ndeto esemeso shicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kulumo milongo natunali mwe amaricha mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano emangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge Pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. We have 14 minutes left, so it's time to wrap up. Oh boy. Now about to commit murder later. So the last part of basically that I'm gonna reference of the the president's speech before I basically wrap everything up in the next 13 minutes. Over the past year, the president states, our country has continued to face social and economic challenges, including high unemployment, inequality, poverty among members of our society. All problems as old as time. But that lays the foundation for the next part of the speech that says, these challenges strain the social fabric of our community and call for collective effort and shared responsibility from all three branches of the government to create positive change in people's lives. They remind us of the core truth, the president, often say, we are too few to be poor. And yet, we are poor. The domestic challenges are increased by global economic uncertainty, climate change, and geopolitical instability. We have issues at home, and those issues are being compounded by issues of global reach. Now, the thing is, we don't have control much of what is going on globally, but we do have control of what's going on here at home. Most of the times when people called in to complain about a problem, he more often asked them at the end, thank you very much. Thank you. That's a genuine concern that you just pointed out. What is your proposed solution to this problem? And I was actually embarrassed on a lot of people's behalfs to learn that a lot of us are very good at pointing at the problem. Solution, not much. Yeah, but the government must. Okay. The government has its own issues. Yeah. The government has its own flaws. But, it's the fact that a lot of people were not able to answer that question. That means, even if you put them in presidential position, they would continue pointing at the problem without figuring out a solution. Yes, this is the problem we have. What is the solution to this problem? Because our goal is to solve it most. The part of collective effort and shared responsibility from all three branches of the government. Now, from all three branches of the government, it's a collective responsibility from all three branches of the government. And I'm glad that all three branches of the government were in that room when that speech was given. The parliament, that makes the legislative branch, the president, the presidency, that makes the executive branch, and the judiciary, a bunch of those guys that you saw, red dresses with white collars? That those were there to represent the judiciary. So all the three branches of the government were in one room, listening to the executive branch. Now, the mandates are different, and they were split. The reason why they were split in those three branches is because, again, human nature, we are terrible at handling power. Take all the power, put it in the hands of one group or one individual, you have a lot of issues on your hands. That's how dictators are made. So, meaning the presidency or the executive branch will just be there waiting with a pen. When are these bills coming so I can sign? And for a lot of bills, like the cybersecurity one, the presidents have been waiting for a very long time, that one. The late Hage waited, and well, Ngolo Mbumba waited, and this one, Netumbo is gonna wait, I think, for a while, assuming she's not gonna wait for until, well, she's she comes to the end of her tenure. That means all the laws that are being made must be tailored towards one thing: solving our problems ourselves. Now, as a continent, that statement makes me want to cry. Which is why I laugh most of the time, because if I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. Wow. When last did I cry? Wow. Really? See, I don't remember. Like, I think even if I'm going some of the worst situations in my life, if I start crying, chances are very high, halfway through the crying, I'm going to start laughing. Like, seriously, dude, is it that bad? Yes, yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. But talking helps. Talking helps, believe me. Talking from experience. Talk. Yeah. And also when someone, you know, when someone comes to you with their problems, just listen. And I know it's very easy to hit your head on the pillow every now and then to think like, okay, now you are telling me all this problem. What is the solution? What do you want me to offer? Oh no, you listening. That's one heck of a solution. Just listening. Lisa, I'm told that, you know, sometimes, you know, ladies, especially ladies, like, this is something that a lot of my lady friends tell me. And, the thing with your genders, every time I'm telling you something, every time I'm telling you my problems, you want to solve them. I'm like, yeah. Every time we see a problem, our first instinct is to solve the problem so you can shut up. Like, no, sometimes I just want you to sit and listen so I can vent. I'm like, so you have a problem. You just want to talk about it. You want to solve it? Like, yeah. Yeah. I give up on trying to understand you people. Yeah. But yeah, really talking does help. I think a lot of us have gotten to, and I know I'm one of those people that have gotten into a lot of trouble. When the other gender is talking, I'm there trying to, you know, just halfway through her speech, I'm already suggesting solutions. Okay, how about this? Have you tried this? And we're like, can you just shut up? Let me just finish. And like, oh. Do you want my help or not? I want, when I'm done talking, then you can offer. Oh, that's if I ask for it. I'm like, oh boy. Oh, right. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why we die sooner as men. That, and also we take a lot of stupid risks. Now, the economic security political sphere is shifting. This is something that we should actually thank COVID-19 for. I think to some degree, COVID-19 pandemic prepared us for this. Because we would be caught with our pants down. COVID-19 shone the light on something that the sun was already shining on. You have got to learn to be independent in one aspect or the other. There are aspects that you do not want to be dependent. And that's aspect of military security and food security. You just can't afford not to be independent in these two. But for some reason, the entire African continent is heavily dependent on foreign aid, foreign financial institutions, foreign military institutions, foreign everything. But you know what? We are pan-Africanists and we want to run Africa ourselves. Really? Your wife goes shopping abroad. You go abroad for a headache. Your kids study abroad. And you have more houses abroad than you do on the African continent, and you still run around telling people Pan-Africanism. Yeah, Pan-Africanism. That Pan-Africanism must be written as P-E-N, as in just Pan-Africanism on paper. Quick break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapungwa eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata Fanona, Monica, Ko, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bari Heari, Nola Natu, Heari Bari, No Heari, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu, Natu, Bari, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. It's just 6 o'clock on the dot, and that brings me to the end of Home Run for today. And now we switch over to how I've been dying to say that. Now we switch over to the north. That is Team Ondangwa. Helmut and Dwight, how am I modifying your name? That brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station. We are crossing over to Ondangwa. This is where you'd have a business and economic segment, but you're going to be listening to, Team Loise in Ondangwa. Stay tuned for the next program.